Okay, next slide. What's the third reason for prophecy? It's the acid test of deity. Do you see the reference there? Isaiah 44 and verses 6 and 7. Now turn there with me. Let's get to Isaiah 44, 6 and 7. And this is what it says. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel. I'm sorry I have to keep pointing that out, but God's plan will never end with Israel. You say, why do you keep bringing that up? Okay, let me draw something else on the board for you here. There are two groups of people within Christendom, within believers. There are those who believe that Israel has become the church. And there are those who believe that Israel is not the same as the church. You say, does that really matter? Uh-huh. This group, it's called replacement theology. And what they do is they replace every promise God made to Israel. They say that's for the church. Now, that's where if you watch any of these health and wealth on TV programs, where you see Christians saying, well, if you just give God 10, he'll give you $100. And if you give me 5, God will give you 500. I mean, you know, I'm being facetious, but they don't quite say it that way. But how do they get that out of the Bible? They've taken all of the promises that God made for national Israel to bless their land, to bless their crops, to bless everything about them, to make them the head of the nations, to make them above, you know, all these huge promises that God made to Israel. They say, God's through with Israel. All of those are for the church. Replacement theology, a person that held this, sadly, was Martin Luther, because replacement theology is also called covenant theology, as in a very big part of reform theology. And Martin Luther said that the Jews were Christ killers. And he wrote a whole book about it. And guess who read that book? He started Lutheranism. And Hitler read that book and used it as a justification. It wasn't, because Luther never said, you know, Holocaust, genocide. But it was all in keeping with this replacement theology. It's very dangerous to say that God, who sovereignly elected Israel, decided to sovereignly unelect them. Anyone that believes you can't lose your salvation, which would be all biblical Orthodox Christians, has to believe God is never going to break his promises to Israel. What is the other side called? It's called dispensational theology. And dispensational theology says that there's a distinction between Israel and the church, and that Israel was temporarily set aside, put into captivity, scattered throughout the world, that God is now working with his church, that at the end of his time working with his church, he will take them to heaven, and then he will again put Israel as his key team he's working with. It's like there are two teams. The first team was pulled from the field because they weren't doing what was right, and they go off into captivity. And then God raises up a second team, the church, and when he's through with them, they go to be around his throne. And God picks up again with his original team, and that team gets so hounded by the world that the second coming of Christ is actually to rescue Israel. And we'll see that as we go through the scriptures. And then God allows Israel to rule the world for 1,000 years, and then, as I just said, we go to heaven, which has the 12 tribe gates and the 12 Jewish apostle foundations. So back to the slides. Prophecy, it says here, is the acid test. The king of Israel is where we got off in verse 6, and his redeemer. The Lord of hosts, verse 6 says, I am the first and the last. Beside me there is no God. And who can proclaim as I do? Let them declare it and set it in order. Since I appointed the ancient people, now look at this, and the things that are coming and shall come, let them show these to them. Look up. Only God knows the future. And not only does God know the future, he's left us a map so we can know the future too.